Is that the theme? Is that the theme of this episode? Javonte Williams, go trade for him.
Dude, it has to be. I mean, how can it not be considering the schedule we just ripped off?
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. My name is Derek Brown of FTNFantasy.com. I'm joined, as always, with my co-host Adam Pfeiffer. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about players you need to be trading for and away, getting on and off your rosters before Week 6 kicks off. Adam, what's going on, man?
I'm giving you more reasons to make fun of me because...
I love those reasons. You know, right. I never take...
Yeah, last night I accidentally fell asleep at like 9:30, and it's just adds to the belief that I'm actually in elementary school still. So, so I'm refreshed. I'm feeling good. And look, man, it's bye week time, and it's really interesting now when you're looking at potentially making trade because. Especially if you're, you know, 1-2 wins and that's it, you're probably in this situation where you want to make trades. Like, whether you feel like you need to or not, you kind of want to. But then it's like, okay, certain players are on bye. Do you want to trade for them while they're on bye? And are these players, you know, and now we're at the point, too, where it's like, are some of these players going to start to break out in the second half? And that's when you can really turn your season around. So, yeah, really interesting time. And like I said, I'm refreshed, so.
I mean, you love and you hate to see it when a young child gorges themselves on Kid Cuisine dinners and Capri Suns. It's kid, usually not no, a good
kid,
thing.
Kid Cuisines were never it. Like, no. We're not doing
were,
that.
Were or are?
No. Like, they're not the same, obviously. Like Kid Cuisines are made for dinner. But, like, just give me a Lunchable at that point. Just give me a Lunchable.
All right, well, at least we know. Do you go with the one that's fully, like, the fully dressed one with, like, the tiny Reese's pieces and the drink? Or do you just stay with the basic? Are you a basic elementary guy?
You get the pizza one. Obviously, you get the pizza one.
I love how specific this is!
Everybody knows that.
You can't make it up, man.
Everybody knows that the pizza Lunchables are undefeated, and they come with the Capri Sun or whatever, which I'm not a huge Capri Sun guy, but, like, whatever. And I think they come with, like you said, yeah, like Reese's or something. Like, yeah, like the Lunchables are kind of expensive, though. Like, so it's like hey, it's like look, a delicacy.
Trust me, I understand that. We build Lunchables here at the house. We buy cheese, and the kids are like, "Where's the Lunchables at?" And I'm like, "Bro, I just made you one. This ain't no Lunchable." And I'm like, "It's the same thing. It just didn't come in a box. You want me to like, you want me to cut you out some boxes and throw them in there? Like, I can do that if you want me to." But anyway. We're getting too far off the rails here talking about Lunchables, which honestly I could sit here and talk for another 10 minutes about. But before we get rolling about trade candidates, gotta mention up in air, the NBA content is still smashing preseason right now over at FTN Daily. Every night I kind of like slowly lurk into the NBA Discord and they all kind of like, it's almost like when you walk into the room and then they all turn around and you're like, "Oh, hi, what's up everybody? Yeah. Oh, I might have walked into the wrong room." And I just look at it every single night, man. Nothing but green screens. They are crushing content. If you have not gotten signed up yet for the NBA Early Bird Package, please do so today. Head over to FTNDaily.com. Get signed up with the promo code FTC. Save 10% and enjoy all of this mountain of content. Like, you get Fast Steady Fears rankings. You get access to the tools, the DVP, the splits, as well as, like I'm talking about, the Discord channel, so you get to slide up in there and be awkward like me. Get signed up today, enjoy all of it, and look, I mean, we got multiple subs getting signed up, and it's already paid for itself, man. You love to see it. You absolutely do. Adam, so we're talking about trade candidates. You mentioned about teams that are struggling. Maybe you're sitting at the cusp of 500, or you're like, "I got one win. I gotta do something drastic, or I am screwed." What trades are you looking to make, man? Kick us off. First player that you're like, "All right, come on, let's go."
So this doesn't really apply as much for teams that are in that 1-2 win area. But if you're, you know, 3, 4, 5 wins even potentially, Javonte Williams is such a good trade target. And we've talked about him a lot this offseason and a little bit in the beginning of the season. And right now it's still pretty much 50-50 split with Melvin Gordon. I think they both had the same amount of carries or touches last week. But Javonte continues to impress more and more each week. You look at his, look, coming out of North Carolina, like he was the dude in terms of broken tackles and missed tackles forced. And that's pretty much carried over in the NFL. Like he's not breaking metrics exactly in that regard, but he's still been elite. I believe if you look at his rushing numbers this season, third in the NFL behind Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry, who are, literally lead the league in this category every year in missed tackles forced. He is, I believe, second in the NFL in avoided tackles per attempt. Like he is doing what we expect him to do. The only thing is he's just not getting 18 to 20 carries a game because Melvin Gordon's still getting his 12 touches a game. It's possible that in the coming weeks, Javonte Williams separates himself as the lead running back. And if that's the case, he's going to be a top 15 running back. So there's a lot of teams where Javonte Williams is probably on a roster of a team that's won 2 wins. And they're sitting there and they're like, he's on my bench because I can't start him because he's only getting 10 touches a week. So they need somebody that they can, they need somebody now. On the opposite end of the spectrum, if you have 4 or 5 wins, you can afford to trade for Javonte Williams and either play him as a flex or keep him on your bench. And then when he does take over, your team becomes even more loaded. So I think that's such a good idea this time of year. Again, we've seen it in the past with rookie running backs. You know, the rookie class last year broke out in the second half. They go back to Miles Sanders' rookie year. He broke out in the second half. DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers and Jonathan Taylor all last year. Like this, we're starting to see get to the point very closely and very soon where Javonte Williams and these rookie running backs are going to break out. And again, I think if you're 3, 4, 5 wins, he's such a good candidate to trade for.
Well, and I talked about this, man. We discussed this in the offseason, and I'll bring this up. I love this call. Absolutely love this, because if you're talking about it, I mentioned it early in the offseason, and many people have forgotten. You know, we're sitting at week 6. Look, I'll give you a pass. It's been over a month, okay? Javonte Williams is staring down a schedule that will allow him to be this year's Jonathan Taylor, this year's David Montgomery, this year's, underline it and mention whatever stretch run hero name you want to throw in there. This is his schedule, Adam, and it is ridiculous. Over the last, let me see here. Let's count it up, people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games. 9 games. 9. He plays the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Lions. Need I go on? Oh, I'm going to. The Bengals, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. Tell me how in the hell that doesn't win you a league, Adam. That's 9 games. And if he takes over the backfield, Lord help me. Like, best ball teams where you got him. Teams where you traded for him right now, of teams that are struggling, and they're like, hey, he's only getting 10 touches a game. If he gets the workload, oh my Lord. That's going to be insane.
I knew the schedule was favorable. Did not know it was that favorable.
I mean, look, you can't net. Like, there is not a team in the final 9 games. That's not bottom 5. Yeah, bottom 6 in like all the rushing metrics we give a crap about. And like, that is a great list.
And Javonte, the first 2 weeks of the season, was not used in the passing game. It was Melvin Gordon on third downs and passing situations. And in the first 2 games, he only had 2 targets. The last 3 games, Javonte Williams has 10 targets and 9 catches.
Oof.
So that only adds to it. So, yeah, like, again, he was on my list. I brought him up, so I obviously had interest in trading for him. But as soon as we get off this pod,
I was excited. All I hear is Adam sending out trade offers right now.
And there's one league I have where, like, I need help at the flex position. Because right now it's, like, Laviska Shenault and, like, you know, Nyheim Hines. I have Michael Gallup stash. But it's, like, I need a better flex. I might just go after Javonte Williams. Flex him, get the 12 touches. Then if he breaks out, my lineup is going to be unstoppable.
That schedule is stupid. And here's another good point. You need to do this before this week, or yes, you need to do that before this week's game. They play the Raiders. So if for some reason he goes off, you're not getting him in. So go out, make the moves, get Javonte Williams. And I'm going to move over to another guy that we talked about all offseason. We were worried about. We're like, nah, I can't draft him. What is happening in this offense and the position around him in fantasy? You need to go make moves for Mike Gesicki. And I know that, yes, we talked about it on the L. We're like, oh, well, Jaylen Waddle in the slot, it's going to cannibalize him. Oh, Will Fuller. Oh, Devontae Parker. All of those things are not mattering right now, Adam. All of those things are not mattering at all. You look at Mike Gesicki, you look at how bad the tight end position is, and you're like, dear Lord, George Kittle's hurt. Travis Kelce, I don't know if he's going to play. I haven't looked at all that kind of stuff, but I know he got dinged up last week.
We'll probably get both Chiefs players, Tyreek and Kelce, will probably get an idea today.
Yeah, but the other part about this, Darren Waller, outside of the monster first game, has not really done anything.
He's been the two games Waller scored, he's been good, but then he's been like 6 for 40, 6 for 50, which is like,
yeah,
whatever, but that's not what we expect from Darren Waller.
No, but you look at Mike Gesicki over the last 3 weeks, weeks 3 through 5, he's third and amongst all tight ends and targets. He's third in air yards at the position. He's fifth in weighted opportunity. And he's been running routes on 73% of the dropbacks. So these are all great metrics. And you look at a guy right now that, like, he's not going to cost you that kind of top five price, but he has that in his range of outcomes, considering the volume, considering the usage, considering what he's doing. And oh, we got Tua maybe coming back this week. So wheels up for the offense that has been led by poo-poo Jacoby Brissett over the last two games. So he gets Jacksonville this week. They're 30th against the tight end position. You got to go out and get him. That is the London game. Go out and make the moves to get Mike Gesicki. The upcoming matchups after that, he gets Atlanta, which is middle of the road. Buffalo is really good. And then, Lord help me, he gets Houston and Baltimore, which have been bad versus tight ends so far this year. Go out and make the move for him, man. I mean, the position is brutal. He has the upside. He's getting the volume. Will Fuller's on the IR. Devontae Parker is banged up, which is, you know, just another year for Devontae Parker. Really, so you're looking at a consolidated passing tree. Jaylen Waddle has not stepped into his own in his rookie season yet. Maybe the breakout happens, but right now, Mike Gesicki's the leading guy for this passing attack. And running out of the slot, operating in the middle of the field, it's not like wide receivers versus cornerbacks and things of that nature. You're really looking at a guy that could lead this team in targets walking out of this season. So for all of the upside and the fact that you're not going to have to give up a ton to get him, go get Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, and like it's the same kind of usage, right? Like they're not like Mike Gesicki is not a tight end. Like he's tight end eligible,
no.
But he's in the slot 72.5% of the time, the highest rate among all tight ends. They don't ask him to run block. That's why Durham Smythe and Adam Shaheen play as many snaps as they do, because Gesicki doesn't really run block for this team. You mentioned the targets. You mentioned the routes run. I think he's like eighth among tight ends in routes run, despite not really playing as much as he should have the first week or so of the season. So, yeah, like, and I was with you. I was not on Mike Gesicki. I was worried about the slot usage with Will Fuller and Jaylen Waddle joining the team. But Fuller's going to miss time, obviously. And Miami's defense, like, hasn't been good. And that's another wrinkle. Like, if they're going to get behind in games, their defense, another team that's probably looked like their defense would be the strength of the team, that really hasn't come to fruition. So,
just no, Byron Jones and Xavier Howard have been burnt, man. Like,
yeah, and they can't stop the run. They haven't been able to stop the run for 2 years now.
They can't rush the passer that well, even though they blitz at one metric shit ton.
Yeah, like Gesicki, we talked about it. He's literally that next tier after, I would say, like, obviously, you still have the elite guys, Kelce, Waller, when healthy, Kittle's still in there, Mark Andrews, Hockenson's been bad, but he's still in that tier, and then Kyle Pitts, and then maybe Noah Fant and Higbee, and then the next tier is those three guys that we've been talking about for like 4 weeks now, and Gesicki, Dawson Knox, and Schultz. I would have Knox and Schultz over him, but Gesicki's probably the next guy up.
I put Gesicki higher than those guys. I put him in that first tier because the target upside is massive. Schultz and Knox still have other guys to contend with, and they're looking at like maybe their second, probably third on their target totem poles. Gesicki could be first. Gesicki could lead this team in targets this year. And for that type of upside, I put him around that Kyle Pitts range, man. Like, for his upside and the fact that, like, it's not a sexy name. People don't like fantasy points, I guess. Like, but Mike Gesicki's been good over the last two seasons. He's been a top 12 tight end. And now we see that the path is laid. And if Tua plays good coming back, the path is laid for Gesicki to have a top 5, top 6 type of season. That's possible, man. So staying on players to trade for, who's your next guy in here? Any other names you want to get up in here?
I mean, again, like we talked about him, I think 2 weeks ago. I wasn't on the trade episode last week, but still, go get Stephon Diggs. I don't care. Yes. Like, I understand Knox has been great and Sanders has
been
great.
I have him written down here. He's wide receiver 25 right now. Like, what? That parallel universe is going to end soon, okay? He's going to come back and be awesome.
He's still getting a massive target share still. Mm-hmm. He's still getting a lot of end zone targets. And like that Kansas City game, you look at their defense. Yeah, probably should have been a blow-up spot for Diggs. But it was a game where Dawson Knox got open on a long play. Like, the Bills, like, Allen had, like, 300-plus yards in, like, what, like, 15, 20? Like, it was the Bills' offense really was on the field a lot in that game. And then there was two plays where Allen did target Diggs. He got held. His arm was literally held, and the refs didn't call it. So, like, that didn't help. And, like, he had that long 60-yard catch. He probably should have scored. What happened was the ball was a little bit underthrown, and he went to catch it. He thought he was getting hit. I saw a lot of Bills fans saying he was, like, kind of, like, showboating. Like, no, he was not showboating. He caught the ball and was expecting to get hit and looking for the defender, and it slowed him down, and he got tackled from behind. So if he scores on that, nobody's worried about Stephon Diggs. But the overall target share is there. The offense is elite. They're still throwing the ball at a massive rate. And, again,
Manny Sanders is not going to stay a top 18 wide receiver.
Yeah, as much as the Bills love
he's
him.
He's playing well. I'm not shading the man, but he's not going to be top 20. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and he's got Tennessee on Monday night, and they can't cover anybody. So
no, as long as you're not on Christian Fulton, Lord help. Their other two cornerbacks are terrible.
Christian Fulton's been really good this year. He's not covering.
He's been
Stephon Diggs.
Really good.
Yeah, he's and, not covering
no, no, no.
Stephon Diggs.
I know. I'm not saying that like.
But he's been. Set, but like, it, no, but it, no I understand. Like it is a situation where it's like. I mean, I guess I'm an idiot for this, but that's why I like LaVisca so much last week because I expected Fulton on Marvin Jones. Yep. Turns out Jamal Agnew and Dan Arnold are the top receivers on Jacksonville. Who knew?
But staying on players to trade for, a few of the names I want to get up in here. If people are still sleeping on Chase Claypool after the Juju injury, this is going to pad and give his ceiling for targets on a weekly basis. Like, you're looking at moving forward, Chase Claypool is going to see a 20 to 25% target share, probably closer to the 25% range. Pittsburgh is still not going to be a great team as far as efficiency. Roethlisberger still sucks. But, hey, we love targets. We love talent. Chase Claypool is going to get that. Already has the other. So I think that people could be sleeping on his ceiling for the rest of the season. Because, yes, Deontay Johnson, this doesn't move the needle for him. Doesn't move the needle for him at all. He was already getting his 30% target share. You're not going to go into, like, 40%. It's not happening. So Chase Claypool, his target share goes up. So does Najee's. But I think Claypool is a screaming buy right now for anybody that is not factoring that into the equation. You talked about Stephon Diggs. Two players that I want to get up in here, and Chris Meany's weekly trade target article, which we talk about this every single week because it is fantastic, man. People that are not checking this out, heading over to FTN Fantasy, getting signed up, using the promo code FTC, like, what the hell are you doing? Because this thing goes through so many different game types, dynasty, sell high candidates, buy low or at least like kick the tires on. And I love the fact that Meany brought up two players, one of two players that I have on my list right now. And that is one of which is DK Metcalf. I want to tell you about bring up both of them, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And I love all the reasons that Meany highlights through here. And I'm going to add a few more on top. Go check out this article, read up, make some trades. The reasons that I'm going to tell you why you got to go get these players. Yes, I know Geno Smith is going to be the quarterback. I understand that. But that's also why you could probably get them for far cheaper than you will ever, ever understand. They're still going to get volume in this offense. Is it going to be as efficient? No. But here it is, Adam. put the feather in the cap here. I'm not telling you to go get them right now. I'm telling, this is a wait and see. As in, you need to see these next two games happen and their value is going to plummet. They go against the Steelers and the Saints. Those two defenses are probably going to eat Geno Smith alive. So, everybody's going to be like, ah, damn it. I don't know what to do with DK Metcalf. I don't know what to do with Tyler Lockett. Geno Smith sucks. And then the schedule opens up, my friend. They get Jacksonville, Green Bay, which is they're still without Jair. You can absolutely get on top of them. Arizona, outside, their corners are not nearly as good as people think they are. Then they get Washington, who has been a poo-poo platter. We know this. San Francisco, and then the Houston frickin' Texans. So let their value plummet over these next two games, and then you sneak in offers for DK Metcalf, for Tyler Lockett. You get them, and you laugh your ass off when they go off over the next six games because you got them for pennies based off of what the production is after that stretch. So go get them. Adam, we talked about a lot of players to go make trades for.
Real quick, I want to add one more, or I guess two more players technically.
Yeah.
Both Rams running backs. I mean, Daryl Henderson's still the lead guy, and the snaps and carries are a little bit skewed because Henderson left for like the whole drive, and at the end of the second quarter came back, obviously, in the second half. Obviously, like Michelle, the first 3 weeks of the season or 4 weeks of the season, it was when Henderson was on the field, it was 90% snap share, 90% carries for Daryl Henderson. I think those days are gone, but I still think Henderson's the lead back. He's been great when he's been on the field. And yeah, if you're worried about him missing time because he's had a ton of injuries, go trade for both because this offense, like I said, it's elite. Their offensive line, still very good, obviously. And their schedule's ridiculous, too. They have the Giants this week, then Detroit, then Houston, then Tennessee, then San Francisco, then a bye, then Green Bay, Jacksonville, Arizona, Seattle, Minnesota. Like, ridiculous schedule for Daryl Henderson and the Rams. So, like, if you want to trade for Henderson, but the team with Henderson, they don't want to trade him, but they also don't have, like, you can trade for Michelle for nothing right now. And
oh, yeah, get him as a throw-in. Yeah. I love that call.
So, I, again, on my most important team, I have both Henderson and Michelle, so don't reach out to me because I'm not trading them, but go try to trade for them in a different league.
Yeah, I get it. I love that call because this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to get ahead of the curve on trades, whether it's a week, 2 weeks, and you're trying to take advantage. If you're looking at these schedules, and yes, look, we've seen 5 weeks of these teams. We have a decent sense of, okay, who is bad? They're probably going to stay bad. And who is good? And what are the matchups that we need to be looking at and targeting over the next few weeks? And you play it in chunks of the season. Like, your Javonte Williams call is awesome. If you can get him anywhere, Lord help me. That is going to possibly define the fantasy season this year and carry people to possible championships. I love that call. But talking enough about players that we love, flip this on its head, man. Tell me about a player that you're like, I got to get rid of before people wise up to it.
It scares me because the offense is as good as any offense in the NFL, and he's an elite, borderline elite receiver already. He's awesome.
Oh, Lord. Are you going where I think you're going?
CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, okay. Okay. Tell me why.
Dallas is just running the ball so much, and it's because Zeke's not washed. Who would have thought? Tony Pollard.
Oh, who would have thought that? I mean, after week one.
Yeah, Tony Pollard's great. The offensive line is just creating a ton of running lanes. And the defense is obviously playing better. So, like, we've seen now, like, Dak Prescott, where this time last year before he got hurt, it was 45, it was 48, it was 50 passing attempts. He has two games over 30 pass attempts. And one was that 58 pass attempt game in week one where they didn't try to run the ball against Tampa. Last week, it was 32 pass attempts, and then it's been 22, 26, and 27. And, like, yeah, they've had leads during those three games. But that's the point. Like, Dallas has, they're not chasing points this year. Yes, their offense is still able to put up 40 on anybody, and CeeDee Lamb is going to be good. I'm not saying CeeDee Lamb is going to be bad. I'm not saying you have to trade CeeDee Lamb. But, like, we mentioned
Dalton Schultz is out targeting him, isn't he?
Well, that's another thing. Dalton Schultz is getting six, 8 targets every game.
And this is not me throwing shade at Schultz, okay? This is just like, if CeeDee Lamb is that dude,
by the way,
why is Schultz getting more targets?
And then Zeke and Pollard are combining for 30 touches every week, whether it's 20 and 10 or 15 and 15 or whatever. They're getting 30 touches on a given week. Michael Gallup's going to be back, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Michael Gallup, when last year and then in week one before he got hurt, he usually plays in two wide sets with Amari Cooper, not CeeDee Lamb. The one thing I will say is if Gallup comes back and Lamb does move into the slot more because he's been out wide way more, it gives him more upside, right? He had a 49-yard touchdown on the perimeter last week, but like it could give him a higher floor with targets and receptions because you can't cover CeeDee Lamb in the slot. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can trade like CeeDee Lamb and maybe like, I don't know, like a bench running back or someone like, I don't know, Nyheim Hines or one of these running, like somebody like a piece, you could probably get Stephon Diggs. And that's a move I would make. CeeDee Lamb, who's another receiver that you could potentially buy low on? Like, would you trade CeeDee Lamb in a piece for Hopkins? I probably would.
I would. Yeah.
So I think that's the move you make. It's not a situation where it's like CeeDee Lamb's been, I think he's like the wide receiver 23, which is fine, which is whatever, but it's not what we expected. It's not like a situation where it's like, get him off your team now. He's terrible. He's a bust. He's been fine.
No, but there are concerns like you're talking about. Like, if his target share gets thinned out anymore, the fact that Schultz getting more targets, the passing rate is not coming up, it doesn't look like, because they're able to run the ball really damn well. And they're going to continue. Why would they not? Like, I have talked about this every single week in the DFS game by game breakdown. And I talked about it with Carolina, and I was like, okay, they're going to force Dallas to throw. We're going to see week one return, and it didn't happen. And then last week versus the Giants, I was like, I'm kind of staying away, man. Like, all this chalk and everybody being like, oh, Dallas, aerial attack. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to happen, man. So, trepidation. And then we see it didn't happen. This point of the season, like, we really have to worry about, like, does that ever come back?
Yeah, and you can make the same case for Cooper. Like, Cooper has been getting, like, he had the huge target game in week one. And then since then, it's been, like, 6-7 as the ceiling. And what happens when Gallup comes back? Michael Gallup's a really good player. He's gonna be targeted. Like, I would trade CeeDee Lamb straight up without anything for Terry McLaurin.
Like, you're gonna have to add something to that. You're gonna have to add something.
Probably,
to that,
but there's people out there that see Dallas's offense and say Washington stinks, man, and they don't view it like a lot of us do, where it's like their defense, they know their defense is terrible. McLaurin's getting, I think he's averaging over 11.5 targets per game with Heinicke this year. So like, yeah, like I would trade CeeDee Lamb for McLaurin. What about Jamar Chase? Like I mentioned trade away Jamar Chase.
I don't know, man.
Like Chase is so good.
But here's one. Would you give CeeDee Lamb up to go get T. Higgins, who's being way overshadowed by Chase right now? Could we see Higgins bounce back?
T. Higgins is an awesome buy low as well, by the way. But I wouldn't do that just because it's the same situation, right? Like the Bengals aren't throwing as much as we thought. I think they will start to with Burrow looking more comfortable. But it's like Higgins is going to get the same amount of targets as Lamb, probably maybe a little bit more if the Bengals go a little bit more pass heavy. And I still think Lamb's a better player and a better offense. So I think that's where I would hold on to Lamb. But what about Keenan Allen, who's been...
Oh, Lord, I would take Keenan easily.
Right.
Easily. So
there are avenues to go with CeeDee Lamb. And again, it's not a situation where it's just like, get him off your team. He's been underwhelming because he's coming off a good game. He's a good player. He's an awesome player. But the situation has changed in Dallas because in the offseason it was get Amari Cooper, get Gallup, get Lamb. They're going to throw 45 times a game. And that's not – maybe their defense falls – down to earth, but they're gonna get guys back too. Like DeMarcus Lawrence is gonna be back, and it's like their schedule, like they're not playing like these powerhouse teams, and Dallas kind of is a powerhouse team at this point. So, and a lot of it too is it's Kellen Moore and it's Dak Prescott changing calls to the line of scrimmage because teams are, you know, respecting the pass, and Dak's like, okay, I'm gonna check to a run and give it to our two awesome running backs and let them get 6-7 yards a pop.
So I got one for you. If you could get rid of CeeDee Lamb and go get, say, a low-end wide receiver two, somebody like a high-end wide receiver three, maybe somebody that's got some upside.
Like Robert Woods?
Yeah, Robert Woods. Okay. And this is really specific, not necessarily, and this is why I'm kind of throwing it in the low-end wide receiver two, high-end three bucket. If you could go trade CeeDee Lamb and, say, get Devonta Smith and Javonte Williams, like, go get a wide receiver three and Javonte Williams. If you're sitting at, like, you've only got one loss.
There's one team that is in last in my league. I literally was looking at this morning. So this is not just advice from me. This is what I'm trying to do. This person in this league I'm in is in dead last. Mm-hmm. And he's had a little bit of issues with the receivers. I might try to offer him Lamb for Robert Woods and Javonte Williams.
I'm just saying, dude, like, Javonte hits that type of ceiling and you're able to get wide receiver production, like low end two, high end three production on top of that. And that's what Lamb is for the rest of the season because of what Dallas is doing. And that's his ceiling. You can put two players together. And I bring up Devonta Smith because all of his target share and air yard share numbers are elite. Like, all he needs is, like, the production is going to swing back in his way. It's just a question of when, not if. Like, if these numbers continue like they are, and there's nobody there in Philly that's going to take away the targets from Devonta Smith. So I bring up these specific cases, but this is all to say, if you could package a player with Javonte Williams, go get him. And CeeDee Lamb is a player that, like, still has the name value.
Is that the theme? Is that the theme of this episode? Javonte Williams? Go trade for him?
Dude, it has to be. I mean, how can it not be considering the schedule we just ripped off? We just talked about. Like, I'm sitting here watching you on video, like, your eyes are getting bigger and bigger. And you're like, every team that I'm naming off. And you're like, oh my
I was waiting
Lord.
For you to name, like, a bad matchup, and you just didn't.
Yeah, no, because it didn't exist. Like, Javonte Williams is the guy you go get. That's the theme. That's the episode, man. We do have more. We do have more to talk about here. The name that I got to bring up before we move over and discuss these most traded players over on CBS, Adam Thielen, and I'm not trying to hurt your heart here, Fife, but Adam Thielen, people got to get rid of him. He is living off of touchdowns, and I know this sounds like I'm picking low-hanging fruit here, but he's the wide receiver 18 right now, and there are people that look at that type of stuff, and look, Minnesota is top six in pace and passing rate. Those things are amazing. And that's how you package and you sell Adam Thielen. And you say he is the lock, set, forget red zone weapon. Cousins loves him. Or you toss him into a trade with another player and you upgrade. And you get up to a real wide receiver one. Or a better, higher floor and ceiling top 15, top 20 guy. But Adam Thielen, it's all touchdowns, dude. And all of his ancillary metrics are terrible, Fife. They're horrible, man. Like, look at his target share. 20%. 41st amongst all wide receivers. His receiving yards, he sits at 40th. His yards per route run, dude, and this is something we talk about and we mention a lot in the offseason. We dive into prospects and things like that. This efficiency metric is showing that, like, Thielen is slowing down. Like, it's just happening. I hate to say it, but it's happening, man. He is sitting at 1.41 yards per route run. That is 70th. 70th amongst all wide receivers. The touchdowns are so damn ridiculously non-sticky that, like, this stretch comes to an end. Adam Thielen is a total dust ball, and you're going to be left holding the bag. And I hate to say that because I love the player. I've loved him over multiple seasons. You have as well. We've talked about him on this podcast. He was one of your flag plant players last year. But right now, where it stands, all the numbers are screaming outside of touchdowns to get rid of Adam Thielen, and you really need to go do it right now. Because if you wait too late, if you wait a few more weeks and he doesn't score, and because he's not putting up the receiving yardage, if he doesn't score, you're going to be left holding Adam Thielen and saying, oh, hell, why didn't I move him? Why didn't I aggressively try to trade for somebody else and get somebody with upside over the back half of the season? But moving out of players to trade for, trade away, Every single week right now, we're going to sit here and go through these top 10 players that are traded, most traded in CBS leagues. That Beanie does a fantastic job. Talked about his article multiple times. That's because it's really damn good. These top 10 players, Adam, real quick, man, let's fire through these. Trade, or are you trading for or trading them away? First guy is an easy call, Chuba Hubbard. Trade him away, right? If anybody will take him.
I mean, McCaffrey's playing this week, so yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's honestly good just, luck. Assuming you have McCaffrey, it's just hold.
Yeah, or you just trade him to the McCaffrey team.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and you upgrade another position, or you go get something like Mike Gesicki if somebody's got two tight ends. So, obviously,
and Mike Gesicki's probably on a roster of a team that has two tight ends. It's very, very
likely.
Yeah,
he probably is. Probably is, because he was going a little bit later in drafts. Allen Robinson, where do you stand on him? I'm on trade away right now. I'm out.
I love it. Dude, A-Rob is so good.
It's not Allen Robinson, and it's not even Justin Fields.
They're running the ball. Like I said yesterday, they're running the ball at the third highest rate in the NFL. And as great as A-Rob is, like, Mooney's kind of been Justin Fields' guy through two starts. So I don't know.
I mean, it's so small what you're gonna target get. Shares, man. Like, yeah, or like, the target volume. Yeah, no, the shares. Some people are like, "Oh, Allen Robinson's getting a 25% share." Dude, do you know that's like four targets, five targets? Like, I mean, like, we talk about target shares. You also got to get some context to a 30% target share off of 20 attempts is not shit. So really, like, oh, it's great. Like, it's not good, man. And Chicago, like you're talking about, Adam. Like,
he's been. It's unfortunate, but he's been the top bust this year, without question.
It's sad, man, because the fact of it is, this is all tied to how they're running that offense in Chicago. They are neutering that entire damn offense, and it's sad to see because Justin Fields is a damn baller. And if they were to open up this offense, and when I say open up, I don't mean go like 70% passing rate. Yeah. All I'm saying is don't be bottom three in pace and passing rate. Don't ask your starting quarterback to only throw the damn ball on less than 40%. Less than 40% of their neutral script plays are passing plays. That is so ridiculously stupid awful, it's hard to even fathom. Like, I head over to FTN Daily's pace and splits tools, and I'm like, I'm looking at the pace tool and I'm refreshing. And I'm making sure that filters are right. And I'm making sure that I'm staring at these right numbers. And I'm like, dear God in heaven, it can't be that low. Oh my gosh, it is that low. This is insane. Like, what? And so, Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, I don't want any part of it. You can get really anything back for them right now. Because if they do not change this offense, and that's the bet you're making if you trade for them, is that the offense changes. Matt Nagy's coaching for his job. He cares more about wins than he does about anything for fantasy. He does not care about them passing and then lighting it up. He doesn't. He cares about winning games, because if he doesn't win games, his butt's going to be on the street after this season, which it still should be. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. Moving down this list, Calvin Ridley, easy trade for, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, one of those situations where it's tough to trade for him right now if you need to win because he's on bye. But the target share is it's the opposite of Allen Robinson. He's getting, you know, 30% target share on a higher passing volume offense. And, I mean, Matt Ryan's played a little bit better lately, and maybe the offense starts to open up a little bit more. Calvin Ridley's one of the best buy low candidates in football right now.
I love Calvin Ridley, and I'm saying go trade for him for the volume, but I'm not going to say a good word about Matt Ryan. It's not happening. We're not going to go there. You're not getting that out of me today. Miles Sanders, trade for or trade away? I think, dear God, if you could trade him away and get anything in return, good luck. You're going to have to hide him on the back end of a deal or give up a decent amount of
if you can,
put him in there as a throw-in.
If you're really desperate at running back and you can trade for him super, assuming he doesn't have a good game against Tampa Bay on Thursday night, which is very unlikely, assuming you can trade
for
him.
Yeah, not everybody
can
just pull the random Myles Gaskin week out of their ass.
Yeah,
I mean, didn't see that coming.
Assuming he doesn't perform well, you can probably trade for him super, super low. And their schedule does open up after this game. Like, they have, I think, Vegas, Detroit. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but it does open up a little bit. He did out-touch Kenny Gainwell, I think, 16-3 last game. But then again, I just look at Nick Sirianni, and this team is abandoning the run, and their red zone offense is their play calling. It's brutal. So, like, yeah, he caught 5 passes last week. Awesome. What do you have, 6 yards?
I want to give credence to this tweet, and I forget who put it out there. And it said basically his average A dot was -6. Maybe it was Mike Clay.
I think it was Mike Clay.
And he said his ADOT was -6 on all of the targets. And it's like, oh, that's bad. This is not good, man.
I mean, when he came out of Penn State and then his first year in Philadelphia, he was like among the league leaders at running back in yards per route run. He was running legitimate routes down the field. And then lately it's just been he's struggling to catch the ball. And now he's like, it's just been
rough. It's tough to really see where in this offense the ceiling and the upside come from, because there's so many different outs of like how he continues to fail. You know what I mean? Like making the bull case for him is
really, and he's still not playing in 2-minute drills. It's all Kenny Gainwell when they get in the no huddle.
Gainwell's going to be involved. Hurts is involved in the red zone. Hurts is rushing the ball. Philly is going super pass heavy, whether you want to talk about in the red zone or just in general. I don't think that those things change because their defense still is not amazing. So I'm firmly on trade away. You've already talked about Robert Woods a few times. I think we're both firmly on trade 4. Cordero Patterson, what are you doing with him? We talked about trading away. His usage is going up, dude. Where do you sit with him? Because honestly, I don't know if you could even get him right now, considering. Yeah. Could you? I mean, I don't think so, considering after what we saw in London, the usage is trending up. Mike Davis is doing Mike Davis things, and I talked about Mike Davis all offseason now. People didn't need to draft him. They didn't want him on their teams, and people are like, oh, you don't like volume, huh? You don't like touches, do you, bro? And I'm like, oh, God, I just can't. Like, and now we see Mike Davis doing Mike Davis things, so is what it is, man. But Patterson, do you think you can even get him off of a team? Because I don't think it's happening.
It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the teams that have Cordero Patterson were like decimated at running back or receiver, I guess you can make the case. And like now they're like, yeah, if they're still dealing with injuries or underperforming players, they're like, yeah, Cordero Patterson's been producing and I'm not going to trade him. But like you can make the case if you have him on your team, be like, yeah, well, I mean, look what he did last week, whatever. The usage was great, but Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, they're going to be back. But yeah, like he's a huge part of the offense. I still think you can at least try to trade him away for some of these underperforming players in a package deal, mm-hmm. but I'm just not ready still, even though we're 5 weeks in the season, to believe that we live in a world where Cordero Patterson's a top 10 running back in fantasy.
I'm not quite there yet. So again, I'm with you. Like, if you could package somebody with Patterson to get up to if you could package somebody with Patterson to go get Ridley or Diggs or one of these players that are underperforming, you do that in a heartbeat. That's not even a question, you know. But I just Patterson's a really divide. Now there's some divide there, whether people are willing to give him up or whether some people are just not going to be willing to trade him. And some of those things I get. We've already mentioned DeAndre Hopkins is a massive buy right now, as well as Daryl Henderson. Last two players, which are really interesting, man. Zach Moss, are you trading for or trading away? I'm not trading for him.
I don't love the trading form, but I don't hate it. And here's the thing. Like, I don't think there's been anybody higher on Devin Singletary than me. But I think last week we saw Moss take over, and I think it's going to continue. Singletary, again, like he always does, started the game. But, Singletary had a couple drops, didn't really pop or anything in the passing game. And then Moss really ripped off a bunch of, he had like a 20-yard reception, a couple other relatively long receptions. He looked better, and he's kind of looked better the last 3 weeks. And Singletary keeps fumbling the ball. He has like 7 fumbles this year, but they've all either gone out of bounds.
Is he that many? Good Lord.
I don't know if it's that many, but I promise you, he has a bunch of fumbles this year that have gone out of bounds, and then one was recovered by Buffalo. Like, he keeps fumbling the ball. And I think Moss, and again, It's never. I've never thought Zach Moss was a bad player. I just thought Singletary was better than people think. I said that many times. But Zach Moss is starting to really come on, and Singletary's kind of, they're going the opposite directions. His touchdown numbers are interesting. He has a couple of rushing touchdowns this year, obviously. Two of them came after Josh Allen should have had rushing touchdowns, so I think that's still like something he's going to have to deal with, and that's going to hurt his upside. But like, if you can get him, if you're hurting a running back, I actually don't hate trading for Zach Moss. I'm not going crazy to get him because there still are those concerns, right? It's a pass-first offense. Josh Allen's still going to run the football, but I do think we're, the last 2 weeks, it's you know, Singletary's trending downwards and Moss is trending upwards.
I mean, I just looked it up because I was like, oh my lord, that number stands out to me. He's got four fumbles on the year, which is still more than I would have thought, man. I mean,
seven was a little aggressive, but he's fumbled every
still,
game this year.
That's more than I thought he had, man. Yeah. Like, so
they've all gone out of bounds.
I'm not necessarily moving
though
for him. I'm not making moves for Zach Moss. Like, I still think this is going to be a mess of a backfield, also equating Josh Allen into it.
I think Moss is the 1A now, though, whereas it was Singletary is the 1A. But I do agree, it's not Moss 1 and then Singletary 2. I think it's still 1A, 1B.
Yeah, I don't think they're just going to totally shelve Singletary unless he just continues to put the ball on the turf.
A.J. Brown, wasn't a full-time player last week, which I guess might have been. Like, he was practicing full. So
he
was
practicing in full. I didn't see that coming.
Right.
Didn't see that coming.
And then he underwhelms in Jacksonville just because Tannehill's not, they're not opening up their passing offense. It's Derrick Henry, 35 touches, and then we'll see what happens. They got Buffalo this week, who just take away all the receivers. I don't know, man. Like, I think A.J. Brown is very interesting. I can't really pinpoint whether he's a trade for or a trade away, because I was higher on Tannehill this year. He's not delivered. And again, he's been without his receivers for a couple games, so that helps or it hurts. But like, the offense isn't that creative, which you were on, and I was kind of, I thought it was just going to be the same thing. You know,
Todd play Downing action. Is a damn idiot. I mean, I screamed this all offseason. Yeah. Todd Downing is not a good offensive mind. And everybody's like, well, just, you know, the Arthur Smith Pryors, same offense, baby. And I'm like, does that really make a lot of common sense? We're saying that a different human is going to make the same exact play calls as another human and run an offense exactly the same. Oh, wait, when you say it out loud, it sounds like that shit would never happen. Except that was really the narrative all offseason. Like, oh, Tal Downing's going to sit here and operate the same offense, except he didn't, and he's not. And this team is falling on its face. It's sad to see, man, because I changed my tune a little bit after they traded for Julio, and I was like, oh, maybe they're going to pass more. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, because he tried to adjust to news, and Downing's Downing. Like, he's doing Todd Downing things. It seems like they're just trying to keep it afloat, man. They're trying to grind out wins. They're feeding Derrick Henry. Tannehill's efficiency is not there. A.J. Brown has not been good so far this year. Wherever you want to look at, man, like he's not producing, and whether that's health, whether that's the offensive scheme, really, we don't know. It could be all of those things in small kind of divisions.
Would you
all
trade,
adding up to the fact that this offense sucks?
Would you trade CD for AJ Brown?
I would trade CD Lamb. I would keep Lamb. I would keep Lamb in a heartbeat. And I say that based off of the fact that, yes, you can make higher target share or target volume concerns, or you can make the case for A.J. Brown to get more targets.
I mean, that's maybe.
I think it's an easy case just based off of target share and the other players around him and stuff like that. But the other side is that even on a lower volume of targets, if Dallas is a much more efficient offense, which they are, they have been, they continue to be, then that's still going to give CeeDee Lamb a better opportunity, even on lower volume, to produce, at least at this point. And if anything, if we're wrong right now after 5 weeks of NFL, after 5 weeks of football, if anything changes and Dallas does go back to the high passing ways, which I don't see it happening, we're talking about it, you know, like, where we sit right now and as much football as we've seen, if Dallas is not forced to do that, I don't know if Dallas does that. But Do I still think that in the range of outcomes, CeeDee Lamb could be a more productive player than A.J. Brown, considering all the factors around A.J. Brown? Yeah, unfortunately, I do. Where do you sit with that?
It's close. It's just hard. It's just a lot more difficult with A.J. Brown right now because he's still banged up, and like Julio's going to be back, and they're still giving Derrick Henry 30 touches a game. So he, like you mentioned that this was an interesting one, and I agree, it's very interesting. We didn't talk about A.J. Brown a lot lately because he's been hurt, but it's tough.
It's tough, man. The other part about it is, like, you take an inefficient offense and you add back into it players that are not at full strength. That's not adding efficiency to the offense. It's going to stay inefficient. You know, and we talked all season about Julio Jones is not injury prone. He's not injury prone. But is he injured right now? Yes. Does that make him injury prone? No. So people need to understand that distinction. But Tennessee, outside of the big dog, it's been, they've just been falling on their face, man. Like, even opportunities, and you know how high I was on Anthony Firkser entering the season, man. Like, nothing in this offense is running right outside of Derrick Henry. Past that, legit. There's no part or piece from this offense that you're wanting to really start, that you really, really believe in. I believed in A.J. Brown last week, and then we saw what happened, man. So, no, all parts of this Tennessee offense, and you're not getting Derrick Henry in any damn trade because nobody's giving him up. So all the other parts or pieces of this offense, I'm just staying away from, man, because I'm really down on it. It sucks. I hate that, but it's just a fact, man. All right, so we talked about all these different players to trade for, trade away, get on and off your rosters. Adam is going to be back later this week going through the DFS game-by-game breakdown, also helping you through your start-sit decisions walking into week 6 for Fade the Chalk. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We're out of here.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.